TV.
Well, now let's see if I can finish up 2 Corinthians chapter 5 today. If I can't, I won't be disappointed because, you know, I love luxuriating in it and I don't want to rush through it. And every time I go through it, I mean, I do read it before the show. And I really, in a way, I try not to concentrate too hard because I want to be impressed by the passage all over again, live in front of you, so that, like, to me, it's new. And when I think a passage could be so familiar that there's no way I could get anything else from it, lo and behold, not just lo, but behold, something new comes out, a word will come out, and that's where the Spirit of God takes over, and I love it when it happens, and you do too. Welcome to MZTV. I am Martin Zender, making sense for a living since October 1st, 1993. I made sense before that. I just didn't make it for a living, but since that date, I have been doing it by the grace of God month by month, thanks to you. Every month is a miracle. Thanks to you and your support. This is a grassroots operation that only goes on because of you. I have no corporate sponsors. I don't make any money from YouTube. None, zero. So you are it. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And anybody who wants to contribute to the work can do so. I'll put a link down here today. There's a lot of different ways to do it. If you want to. If the Lord is moving you to do it, then go for it. If not, don't worry about it. Watch the show. Enjoy the show. Everything on my website is free. That's the way God operates. Freely have you been given. Now you freely give. Show grace unto others as God has shown grace to you. To those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Linda, I got your nice cards and your support for the work. Thank you very much. And I apologize for offending you. I certainly didn't mean to. I did not call you what you said I called you. It was totally misrepresented. But if you want to believe that, you can. But anyone can watch the video and see that I did not call you that. So anyway, I'm for peace. And I enjoy apologizing to people, even when technically not in the wrong. But even if people are offended by something I didn't do, I still apologize. Why not? Why not? So to anyone, not just Linda, but to anyone I've offended, to Wild Boar, Robert, Seamster, and to anyone, I apologize. I get so into this teaching that, I mean, I'm so excited about the Word of God and the truth. And I'm a little touchy in some areas, you know. I've been lied about so many times over the years that whenever somebody says something that I didn't say, it bothers me. You know, I mean, I'm accountable for everything I say. How many words do I say every day? How many words have I said publicly that I'm accountable for every single word I say publicly over the last 33 years? That's tough. And I own those words. But that's enough, okay? I don't want to be held accountable for what I don't say. So please, when you say I say something, be careful that I actually said it. Because in many cases recently, I did not say it. And it's provable to anyone who watches. I mean, everything's on record, so check it out for yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so grace and peace. Good, we all good? Okay. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5. So that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Again, this is a figure of speech. It is so guaranteed, so sure to come that God talks about it as if it has come. It's a shocking way to say it. And God shocks us on purpose. That's why it's my favorite figure of speech, prolepsis. Collingwood is not as though it were because it's shocking. It puts something right in your face. Says, this is you. But it ain't me yet. But it is so sure to be you in the near future that I'm saying it's you. Thanks God, that actually helps. The primitive passed by. Lo, there has come new. You know, I think I got a show coming up. I have it in development. Five things to say to yourself or out loud first thing you get up in the morning. Now, I'm not going to get into it now. I think I definitely have the first one and the second one. And I talked about this in another show earlier, recent show. But it really helps. I've done this and it helps. When you wake up in the morning, it's a tough time, right? Because you realize, oh, crap, I'm back in Eon 3. The Lord didn't come during the night. Here we go. Another uphill battle. This is what you tell yourself or say it out loud. What is being observed is temporary. That's it. What is being observed is temporary. I've done this and it really helps. It instantly puts things in perspective that everything I'm seeing is temporary. And the second thing you say is what is not being observed is aeonian. That's the good stuff. That's the stuff that's going to last. That's the stuff that's waiting at the door. And the next points are in development, but when I get them to you, one of them is a new thought. It is fantastic. So that's going to be an upcoming show. I think I'll title it like the five things to say to yourself first thing in the morning, something of that nature. But here is a great way for God to put us face to face with, and you see how he has so many great things planned for us. And you think it's frustrating for you, but I think it's frustrating for Christ that this stuff, he just wants it to be honest. He wants us to experience it now, but he knows we can't yet because we're still going through trials that are necessary. And so came up with a really creative way just by saying that it's true. Saying that it's true. The primitive passed by. It did? Yeah, it did pass by. From my perspective, it already passed by, and you're already living in the new creation. From my perspective, Jesus says, I'm seeing you. I know you're still in it, but you're just a centimeter away from getting out of it. And so I'm going to tell you that it's so sure to happen that I'm going to talk of it as though it has happened. That never gets old. Lo, there has come new. Now, verse 18. This is new territory. Yet all is of God. Who can that verse alone? I want to go into it. I want to tell you how the is in light face type in the Greek, meaning that this is an absolute statement. All of God. If the is were dark face type, it would be relative. I've taught on that before, but I'll explain that sometime. Right now, just revel in the truth that everything that happens is of God, both good and evil. Who conciliates us to himself. Conciliates means makes peace. Makes peace with us. Conciliates us to himself through Christ. This came at a great price. The peace that we feel being crucified with Christ, there being no more condemnation, being freed from the condemnation of sin, being freed from self-analysis, being freed from judgment. All these blessings that we now have came at a tremendous price. All is of God who conciliates us to himself through Christ. Christ is the means. And is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. This sounds confusing, but it's not, shouldn't be. I'm going to explain it here. There's no explanation to be had. I mean, it's very plainly stated. I'm just call it. It's black and white. I'll call it. I got a 64-pack. You remember those kids in school that had the 64-pack of Crayola crayons? They handed out your basic 8 colors, right? There's 7 basic colors. What was the 8th color? I don't know. Black, white, what? You remember those little small ones, Crayola? And then there were the kids who had the 16-pack. I think maybe my mom got me a 16-pack. Right. I mean, if you had a 16-pack of Crayola colors, you had these exotic colors like, you know, burnt orange, sienna, cauliflower yellow, whatever. Then there were those kids who had the 32-pack. The 32-pack. It was like next level, but nothing compared to the 64-pack. You remember those kids, the giant pack? It had the crayon sharpener on the side. You remember that? A crayon sharpener. These were the rich kids. Only the rich kids had the 64-pack. You talk about exotic colors, like steel gray, magnolia, candy blue, just beyond your wildest imaginations. More colors than even God invented. The Crayola Company. Damn kids. Boy, I really envied them, that's for sure. So God is giving us, how I got onto that, I cannot tell you right now. God is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. We now have this word to give out. And this is a truth that you never hear in church. You never hear anywhere else in the world except from, honestly, people familiar with a concordant publishing concern and the concordant literal New Testament. Because the King James Version and every other English version makes this reconciliation. They do not distinguish conciliation from reconciliation. Two different Greek words. One with a prefix, one without a prefix. So this conciliation, this making peace through the cross, God is giving us the dispensing, that is, the giving out. What does a candy bar machine dispense? Candy bars. What does a soda pop machine dispense? Soda pop. What do we dispense? We dispense information. And we are in an information war, as I have told you again and again. This is an information war. Truth versus lies. Satan is the father of lies. God is the father of truth. God has given us the truth, and it clashes against the lies. The lies are ironically being spewed by the Christian church, which says that God can only be at peace with you if the price is right. Your default setting is God is not pleased with you. You are dangling over the fires of hell, held there right now only by the grace of God. But the thread is becoming thinner and thinner and thinner. And you have to build it up by good works. You have to build it up by church attendance. My God, that's not peace, is it? No. We are giving out the opposite information. They are giving you then a challenge to deliver yourself from this and to really work your own peace, to try to build a peace bridge. They are asking you to build a peace bridge between yourself and God. They are demanding you do so. Because God is not at peace with you. God is upset with you. He's angry with you. Because what? You haven't made a decision yet. You haven't decided to make Jesus, you make Jesus your Savior. I have to make Jesus my Savior. Jesus is not, by nature of his work on the cross, my Savior. No, he's not. Not according to the Christian religion. Of a truth, he is. If this information here is foreign. No one else except people familiar with the concordant literal New Testament has this information. Is giving us, Paul says, himself and his fellow workers and all the believers, they knew it because they had the original Greek. And I mean the original. I mean they're reading from the original manuscript. These people got these letters. In this case, the Corinthians. Giving us the dispensation, we dispense it like you pull the knob, out comes a cigarette pack or a soda pop or a Snickers bar. You pull our knob, what comes out? God's at peace with you. Here it is coming up. I'm going to read verse 19. How that? Now we're getting into details. That was personal. God conciliates us to himself through Christ, the price, the crucifixion, the death, the humiliation, the death. Christ for our sins, his entombment, and his resurrection. But it's personal in verse 18. But he's giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. What? So we're supposed to go around telling people that, hey, God's at peace with me. God's at peace with me. God's at peace with me. You would think that if you stopped at verse 18. But here's verse 19, which explains what this conciliation is and what the dispensation, that is how we are to dispense it when somebody pulls your knob. But don't wait for them to pull your knob, because pulling the knob assumes you put a quarter in the machine. I'm aging myself. I love those days when you put a quarter in, you could hear it going through the machinations of the machine. Then you pulled that knob. Oh, man, that thing felt so good. You pulled it, and then you just, the sound that candy bar made when it came down, or that pop, it just pulling that knob was so satisfying. And it dispensed, a machine dispensed something. Now you got this crazy robotic arm. It's so unsatisfying, actually. I hate it. Let me pull the knob, baby. Let me crank it. No, not today. What are we dispensing? How that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. There it is. What? Conciliating the world to himself. Making peace with the world. Making peace with the world. Yes, God is at peace with the world. That is really the evangel. Well, the evangel is the death of Christ, his entombment and his resurrection, the death of Christ for sin. But this is the result. This is actually part of the evangel. This ought to be included after 1 Corinthians 15. This ought to be included because this is now the result of the death of Christ for our sins is our personal salvation, but it is also this, that God has conciliated the world to himself. This does not mean that at this time, the world accepts it. I think, you know, this is not a challenge either. It doesn't matter if they accept it. It's still true. It does matter if they accept it, but them accepting it doesn't make it true or not true. That's the key. That's the secret to this. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. It's true. We tell people this is our dispensation, that God is now at peace with you. But don't I have to repent first? No. Don't I have to go to church first? No. Don't I have to say the sinner's prayer first? No. Don't I have to go to the altar and feel bad and cry? No, no, and no. It's true whether you believe it or not. This is one of those beautiful truths, whether you believe it or not. I made another video on this, whether you believe it or not. There's so many things that the world, it's true of the world, whether they believe it or not, and it's always a shock. Because nothing is true in the Christian religion, whether you believe it or not. And not only must you believe things to be true, but you have to somehow drum up the belief apart from God's influence. Because you have a free will, don't you know? That's what they tell you. So you have to overcome an ironclad decree that not one is seeking out God. Good luck with that. I demand that you overcome the ironclad decree that not one is seeking out God. What do you want me to do? Seek out God. But not one is seeking out God. Well, you better try harder then. But it's an ironclad decree. I don't care. Do it. These people are asking people to do an impossible task. We're not asking them to do anything. We're not asking them to do anything. We're declaring a truth that God is at peace with you. But it's one-sided. That's the beauty of the understanding of the concordant version. Because the King James, look at it, says, reconciling the world to himself. Reconciliation is a two-way peace. God made a one-way peace. I mean, everyone will eventually be reconciled to God when they finally see who God truly is, when all the religions of the world are destroyed and all the hindrances, i.e. the religions of the world, are moved out of the way, and now the world can see God face to face. See, we see God in Christ face to face now because God has already removed religion for us. Religion is the big cock blocker. It's the peace blocker. Religion is that fogs the film, puts up the wall. Even though the wall, the curtain was removed, Christianity puts it back up. Oh, we can't have that. We can't have complete access between you and God. That takes away our business. And religion is big business. They need that wall up. They need that wall. They need that curtain. They need that separation. They need you to be condemned. They can't tell you, even if they knew this truth, which they don't, they can't tell you the guy's at peace with you. Because then you'd be free. They don't want you to be free without them. See, that's Israel's whole thing as being a priesthood nation. Israel resented Paul, not because he went to the nations, it's because he went to the nations without them, without their intermediacy, without their priesthood. Israel was all for going to the nations. They knew that someday the nations would be reached, but by God, the nations would come through them. Nobody gets to God except through an Israelite. That's why Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, or is it chapter 12? Read the whole book of Acts, you'll find it. That's why Cornelius had to summon Peter. Cornelius, the man of the nations, but a proselyte of Israel, well-respected in the nation, gave alms to Israel, helped support the work, and had to call for Peter. Had to call for an Israelite. Peter later writes that Israel is a royal priesthood. That's why you cannot read 1st or 2nd Peter and take it as your own mail, because you are not a royal priesthood. We're a dispenser of the conciliation. We operate without a priesthood. We just say that, hey, God's at peace with you. Anybody who would hear that would say, well, God, what am I supposed to do with that? Just, you know, you might as well believe it. Why? Because it's true, but I have to believe it to be true. No, it's already true. At which point, a sane person would say, well, since it's already true, I might as well be conciliated to God. Yeah, you might as well. He's at peace with you. What's stopping you? What stops the seeker who goes to the church is the hypocrisy of the whitewash advertising of grace. Free. Come on, it will tell you how free it is. Then you find out how free it isn't. You find out all the things you have to do. You find out God's not at peace with you. You're dangling over the fires of hell until you do something about it. And you better act now, because the offer is passing away. The offer is short-lived. Act now while supplies last. That's the Christian gospel. Act now while supplies last. Our message is the supply of peace is unlimited, and it is now in your account. It is now on you. You're not enjoying it. Why? Because you don't know about it. Why? Because it's an information war, and Satan is blocking the truth, and he's using religion to do it. That's what just blows my mind every day. He's using religion to keep people from knowing this. I'm telling you, this is why the first thing that happens during the tribulation is God destroys, God unleashes the 200 million cavalry, the 200 million supernatural horsemen bound at the river Euphrates, and kills the leaders of all the religions, including Christianity, destroys the religions and their acolytes and their leaders, their pastors, their priests, their imams, their rabbis. And finally, the world will be covered with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea, because them damn cock blockers will be out of the way. Peace blockers. Boy. How that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. That's what we dispense. And now this, not reckoning their offenses to them. He is not now reckoning their offenses to them. And placing in us the word of the conciliation. See, so that ties in nicely with verse 18. Verse 18 is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. And then by the time we get to the end of verse 19, we find out what is the word of the conciliation. What is the word of the conciliation? That God has conciliated the world to himself, one-way peace, made peace with the world. He's got no problem with the world. The world has a problem with him because they don't know him. Why? Again, I go back because to the churches. Not reckoning their offenses to them. You hear that at church ever? You hear that from anyone in any religion. Not even from the people who are so-called advanced in the kingdom evangel. From the born-again Jews, or at least even the kingdom people who understand the salvation of all, they don't understand this. They don't dispense this. Some of them still believe in free will. I know people who believe in the salvation of all who still believe in free will. They think that, well, people are all going to eventually exercise their free wills. Well, how can God guarantee they do that unless he causes it to happen? I mean, it's just obscene. But I know people who believe in the salvation of all, but also believe in free will. I know who people who believe Paul's gospel, but believe in eternal torment. I mean, you can see the weirdest combinations out there. And it's so rare to have everything right like we do. Go ahead. I know I'm going to hear it. I'm going to hear it. I'm sorry, but we got not everything, but we got the main things right. The pillars. The pillars. Pillars are, we understand that God is operating during a series of eons. That is critical. If you don't understand that God is operating through a series of eons, then you don't know anything. You'll never get to first base. That God is sovereign over good and evil. My God, that is foundational. You'll never get to first base. You'll never understand. You'll never understand God if you think that you have a free will, i.e. that God is not sovereign. God is operating during a series of eons. God is sovereign, i.e. there's no such thing as human free will. God's the savior of all humanity. There's a good one. There are two gospels. Oh, that is critical. If you don't know that, you're done. You're cooked. You'll just be so confused. You'll be producing a mixture of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. You'll be mixing law and grace. You'll be mixing peace and condemnation. You'll be mixing forgiveness and justification. It'll be a total sloppy mess. You'll be dishing up. You'll be dispenser of mush, of confusion, of a bastard gospel. And the meaning of death, the true meaning of death. That death is non-existence. Death is non-existence. There are two evangels. God is sovereign. God is the savior of all humanity. And God is operating through a period of five eons. Those are the five basics, the foundations. You know how few people know all of those things? And we do. By the grace of God. So don't sell yourself short. It's a miracle. It's amazing. For Christ, then, I really need to save this because I love this word, ambassadors. I'm going to say this for tomorrow because there's part of this that has to do with the snatching away. Yes, see, I want to luxuriate, and so I'm going to hold back verses 20 and 21. But for now, know this, God was in Christ. And, I wanted to say this too, I forgot. Christ thought that God had forsaken him, but that's from his perspective. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's what he cried out at the cross. I feel so bad for Christ on the cross. I feel so bad for him. Because he felt that God had forsaken him, but he didn't. And this is proof. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. How could God have forsaken him when God was in him? God was doing the work through Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them. Oh, I got so much to say about not reckoning their offenses to them. All these people will say that when a storm comes to a certain city, That's God's curse. God is cursing that city because hurricane hit Galveston. A bunch of sinners in Galveston, we all know that. The gangs of Galveston. The hurricane hit Galveston, that's God's judgment. No, God is conciliated, not reckoning offenses to them. None of that. It's a meteorological happening. I'm not saying it's not of God. Of course it's God, because what does verse 18 say? We started with that. All is of God. So I'm not saying the hurricane isn't of God. I'm just saying that it hit Galveston for another reason. I don't know why. First thing we'll ask God, why did that hurricane hit Galveston? There seems to be a lot of nice people in Galveston, with several exceptions.